Howdy, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday. It is the 28th of September. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, Kelly. It is great to be here. Good morning.
I'm glad you are with us today, John B. Martellaro. Also with me today, I have Brian T. Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
R.
Oh, okay. I was just going for Tiberius, but, you know.
Speaking of HR jokes, my middle name is Richard.
All right. It's going to be that show today, everybody. So I hope you're ready for it. Maybe if you're not sitting down, now's a good time to have a seat. John, I would like to start with you. And you wrote a really interesting article last week for Particle Debris about the MacBook Air.
Yeah, every week I select the article that I think is cool and it should be highlighted. And this one is, unfortunately, at Forbes. there's a mixture of authors at Forbes. Some are very good, and some are kind of overly critical of Apple. Ewan Spence, I don't know very well, but he wrote a very interesting and I think correct article about the future of the iPad Air.
The MacBook Air.
MacBook Air. Got iPad Air on the brain. So I think I might buy one. Here's the basis.
Wait, you might buy an iPad Air? I feel like we need to derail just for a second.
I just want one so bad. It's just so cool. But that's another story. Too.
Okay. We will definitely save that for another show. But today we're here to talk about the MacBook Air.
So we had a MacBook, which was a really, really low-end, slow processor, inexpensive machine. And then we thought that was going to take over the MacBook Air. And then it turned out fans liked the MacBook Air a lot. It's customers. And MacBook Air got new life and put into it. And so it surged. And then the MacBook was canceled. Well, now the supply chain and rumor mongers are suggesting that in order to reduce the price, and Apple's going to take advantage of Apple Silicon and build a low-cost MacBook second generation with Apple Silicon. And the price is going to come in, I've read, at about $799. And this will be great for education. It'll be great for cost-sensitive customers. And it kind of leaves the MacBook Air out in the lurch, so to speak. Because when you have a really great Apple Silicon, an expensive, low-end, lightweight machine, maybe with a 13-inch screen, what's the MacBook Air around for? I mean, it was cool, according to Spence, in 2008 when it was really slender and Steve Jobs pulled it out of a mailer envelope.
I remember I was there.
And it was about that lovingly.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But nowadays, with a MacBook Pro on the high end and this looming MacBook on the low end, mm-hmm. he brings into question what the really the need is for the Air. So let me quote, what made the MacBook Air stand out in 2008 is now passé in 2010. The Air is still seen as a machine that is thin, but there are countless laptops in the world. If you pick up the MacBook Pro, you'll find a laptop that is 1.56 centimeters thick. The MacBook Air is 1.61 centimeters thick, yet it has the taper to the front end, but is a wedge enough to justify its existence. And so he goes on to talk about the supply chain, pretty strongly suggesting that Apple's going to label the new Apple Silicon MacBook low-end just MacBook. Mm-hmm. And then this doesn't seem to be any room for the MacBook Air anymore. It seems to make sense.
It does, because part of the, I think, anyway, part of the appeal of it was that it was very lightweight and the battery would last a really, really long time. Part of the way they did that was by sacrificing some of the other stuff that was on some of those other machines. But it seems like a lot of the things that you got out of the Air, you can get out of a machine that will do all those things and a bunch more. Right, Brian? Or are you going to completely disagree with me on this?
I was muted, sorry. I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that it makes a whole lot of sense to dismiss the wedge. You put a MacBook Air next to a current MacBook Air next to the current MacBook Pro, and the MacBook Air looks a lot thinner and it's a lot lighter. That fraction of a millimeter thicker that the current Air actually is on one edge only tells like a minute part of that minute story. John.
Well, that's the way the original MacBook was in 2015.
Oh yeah, so it was.
It wasn't a wedge shape, was it?
Well, let me pull it off the shelf here.
Yeah, please
take a close look at it, as I recall.
And while you're actually reaching for that, John, assuming you can still hear me, what do we know about the current MacBook leaks that he's referring to?
That it's going to have Apple Silicon. I mean, let me get back to the microphone.
Yeah.
My MacBook 2015 is very nicely tapered, just like a MacBook Air. Maybe it's not as dramatic because it's smaller, but it does have that taper effect.
So when John's talking about the MacBook, the thing that we're talking about for people who maybe don't recall is that this was, I believe, the first one to come in space gray, and it was just called MacBook.
Right.
And it's a 12-inch machine. It's not 13.
Processor. Yeah, 12-inch screen, which is a little bit too small for me. Fortunately, I have a MacBook Pro now, so I'm going to probably decommission this MacBook from 2015. Mm-hmm. So if you got a tapered MacBook with a 12-inch, with a 13-inch screen, and maybe two USB-C ports and Apple Silicon chip, what do you need a MacBook Air for?
The MacBook could replace the MacBook Air. It is certainly possible, but there's also okay. Multiple things about the MacBook Air that should be considered. One is the size, and as I just said, I don't think it's right to dismiss the wedge. The second is weight, and it remains to be seen how much this MacBook will weigh. And the third is pricing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the MacBook Air is currently isn't it currently the cheapest? I say that, and now I immediately doubted myself. Isn't it the cheapest of the pros?
It might be the least expensive laptop, but if I recall, it was by about $200.
Well, it is currently, yeah, the MacBook actually isn't even currently offered. I didn't realize that.
Well, I'm a little discontinued in 19 or maybe late 18.
Yeah, so it would depend on where they want this new MacBook, assuming it's not actually going to be a MacBook Air, to be priced. Mm-hmm. Right, the MacBook Air could remain the inexpensive device, where the MacBook might be the slightly more expensive device, or vice versa. And I get where this fellow's coming from, and I get where you're coming from, John. I just don't know if that tells the full story.
The other factor that comes into it is Apple is in the process of transitioning from Intel to Apple Silicon, as we know. And having one fewer Mac in the lineup just reduces the aggravation of waiting for that model to get its Apple Silicon. Just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing I would want to know, Brian. Aside from the pending silicon upgrade and all of that, what place do you see the Air having in the lineup if we do get a 2020 MacBook?
I don't know where Apple would price this MacBook with supposed Apple.
The number we've heard is $799 from the rumor mill.
Yeah,
if it's $799, that is a good argument for the Air going away.
Okay. So, do you think that the thing that it's doing right now is being the sort of entry level laptop, and that if that And Air, if that
the Air is certainly the entry level laptop currently.
Right. But it's really like price wise, I'm like I said, I think it's really close to whatever the entry level MacBook Pro would be. So do you think that's the purpose of the Air right now? And would that be the same purpose that the MacBook, the Silicon MacBook would serve?
It is not that it's close in absolute terms. It's $300 off. Mm. But that
okay, I thought it was 200. So
that makes it 23% cheaper. Or yeah. If you go the other way, the MacBook Pro is 30% more expensive than the Air.
Mm-hmm.
And that difference is not inconsequential.
It's not at all.
But if the Mac, the rumored price for the MacBook being $799 is even more significant. And absolutely. If we see a MacBook at $799, it seems like the error could go away.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. Well, if that's its purpose, then that was always sort of my impression of the MacBook Air, was that it was meant to be your satellite machine, your ancillary machine, like you're somebody like you, Brian,
it's your go bag machine.
Yeah, it's especially like for you or for John, people who your daily driver is not a portable machine at all. Like, you know, John's on the Mac Pro and you're on an iMac, and so having
I'd be moving to the 13-inch MacBook Pro for my next portable personally.
Okay,
that's a good machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, at a good price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife bought one. She's gloriously happy with it. 13-inch MacBook Pro, Ice Lake processor, mm-hmm. 4 ports, attached to a big screen,
mm-hmm.
second display.
Yep. Yeah.
512 SSD. It's been running perfectly for 6 months. I mean, not a glitch.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, and like that's the thing I thought the MacBook Air was always meant to do, and that's part of why it was the machine that it was. Like, it's super lightweight. I think the initial one, like 2011 or whatever it was, had like 2 USB ports and that was it. And I know, John, you're still probably grumpy about that, but it only had 2 USB ports. And part of that was you don't have to plug a bunch of stuff into it. It's your satellite machine, it's your ancillary computer that you take with you places.
Every MacBook should have 4 ports.
I know.
Distinguishing the power and the price of a MacBook by the number of ports it has is rubbish.
I know. We've
so there.
John has spoken. So like that was always the thing I liked about the Air, but that was one thing the MacBook did that was pretty interesting, was it was a little bit more screen than the 11-inch Air, but was still a super lightweight portable machine, and I thought that was cool. And
I think the reason the MacBook failed was because it wasn't enough computer, and people looked at a 12-inch screen and a gigahertz processor and one port, one USB-C port, and they went, you know, for a few $100 more, I can get a more serious machine that'll do my workload,
mm-hmm.
and do all the things I needed to do and play games and do a little bit of Photoshopping. But this little silly little 12-inch, 1-pound computer just isn't enough computer for me, and I think that's why it failed. People selected the MacBook Air, and that's why Apple breathed new life into the Air, because the MacBook was poorly conceived at the beginning.
Okay.
But a new MacBook with a 13-inch screen and 2 ports and an Apple Silicon and good solid guts and Face ID and all the good things,
mm-hmm.
would be a glorious computer.
So would you buy one of those, John, if you were looking for a new laptop?
Well, I've got a 2018 MacBook Pro now, and I'm probably not ready to buy another MacBook.
Okay.
But let's say that you didn't.
Yes.
You choose the MacBook, the rumored MacBook that obviously it might not be the device that ships, but you would choose the rumored MacBook over a MacBook Pro for a portable.
Yeah, because I just use it for testing purposes, and I don't need the power and spending a whole lot of money for MacBook Pro power that I don't need and can't use is maybe a waste. But I like to have a little notebook computer sitting in the recliner.
Here's a question. I wonder if I've got the, I think it's the most recent MacBook Air. It's a 2018 MacBook Air. Is that the most recent one?
I think so.
Yeah, is it getting long in the tooth? That's interesting.
Wasn't the MacBook Air refreshed in early 2020?
I think it got a spec bump, right? Like you could get a bigger hard drive in it, but it wasn't materially different, if I'm not, if I'm remembering right. I mean, it was early 2020, so it was like 5 years ago. Yeah.
My original point was that that machine has not been satisfactory when I've traveled, and that's
it. Oh,
the way I'm currently living and working, travel is when I need a portable, and travel right now is LOL, right?
Right.
So the question is, could I hold out for a MacBook Pro, an Apple Silicon MacBook Pro?
That's my question. If, especially because you're in the market for something new. And I mean, I've been threatening to get a new laptop for months, but I think I'm still going to get an Intel MacBook Pro.
If I was buying today and the rumored MacBook was announced, I would get a MacBook Pro because for power reasons. I have found that I do need a little more power than the lower end machines when I'm traveling. So the question for me would be, could I actually hold out for an Apple Silicon MacBook Pro? And that's what I'd want to do. And because of the state of travel, the answer is probably yes.
Hey guys, I just looked up the MacBook Air. It was refreshed in March of 2020 with Ice Lake.
So 6 years ago.
Or so it seems.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So let me put this to our listeners. Dear listeners, whom I love, I want to find out if you're on Team Brian, your primary reason for upgrading your laptop is travel, so you can probably hold out for one of the silicone machines, or if you're I guess more on my team, where like if you were going to buy something, it's because a laptop is your daily driver decision, and if you were buying something now, you would just buy the nice Intel iteration of whatever Apple has to offer you. You can let us know this at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. John, do you have any last thoughts on this?
No, I don't think so. I have said enough.
Interesting. That's not usually your assessment.
That's not my style.
That's the, generally not how John rolls.
All right, I'll finish up.
All right, so John brought his own theme music for the show today. Brian, do you have any last thoughts about this?
No, it's going to be interesting to see where we go. Actually, yes. So the correct answer to your question is yes. Yes, I do. It's going to be interesting to see where the portable line goes, especially with Apple Silicon.
Yes.
And I would add, there's one more point. Like, even if Apple was really borrowing heavily from the MacBook Air for the design principles of the MacBook, changing the name from Air to MacBook makes sense from a marketing standpoint, in that, hey, we've got this new processor in there. Mm-hmm. So that is another reason for that to do it. Even again, I want to emphasize this, even if the new MacBook actually looks a whole lot like the MacBook Air currently does. Yeah. So that's also a possibility. And it's going to be interesting to see how Apple Silicon exerts an effect upon all of the Mac product line.
That's a good point, Brian.
Absolutely.
Because we've heard rumors that the Apple Silicon Macs are going to have a new design language and be physically distinct from their predecessors.
That's my question.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know how, Brian, you were talking about how it affects the lineup, and I'm very interested to see how it affects the machines. Like, are they going to be a lot lighter? Are they going to have a radically different design? All that kind of stuff. I'm definitely interested in finding out. So we will learn more. And as we do, of course, we will bring it all to you here. That's going to do it for us today. John, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Theme music in tow. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Indeed, and Mr. Stout and Ichabod say hi too.
I noticed. Thank you for that guest appearance, Ichabod and Mr. Stout. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.